To you all. It's good to see you in the Lord's house today. In our call to worship this morning, I want to draw your attention to a book of the Bible that I would imagine is the least read of the books of the Bible. There may be some that may challenge that, but Ezekiel is a book that is full of very strange happenings, dreams. The Lord pictures him as carrying him by his hair to Jerusalem and to show him the temple and digging in the wall and seeing all the wickedness that was going on within the religious people that were there. And because of that, sometimes the book gets neglected, but it is a powerful book. It is a book where God uses a man who is in captivity to speak to his children. Even though they're in captivity, God has a message for them. He warns them before the captivity in the early chapters of Ezekiel. Then he's taken into captivity. Then he warns the children of Israel. He rebukes them. He encourages them. You can be delivered from this if you'll but trust in me. There is a phrase that appears over and over again, though, in chapters 5 and 6 that I just want to share with you. 5 times this phrase is used. And I want you to think about it in regard to our worship of the Lord today. Verse 13 of chapter 5. Thus shall mine anger be accomplished, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be comforted. And they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it in my zeal. Same in chapter 6, verse 7. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 10. And they shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have not said in vain that I will do this evil unto them. Verse 13. Then shall they know that I am the Lord. And then finally, in the last verse of chapter 6, so will I stretch out my hand upon them and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblath, in all their habitations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. I want you to note that in all 5 times that this is shared, it's after judgment has come. And the question comes to mind, what is better, knowing the Lord or learning about Him and knowing Him after the judgment? We are watching before our eyes judgment unfold in this world. We are watching judgment because we have turned our backs upon God. God has left man to himself. And because of the decisions of leaders and the decisions of people, we are seeing horrible things happen. We're seeing terrible things take place. We're seeing not only the unfolding of violence in the earth, but also even the earth itself is shuddering because of the evil. Someone sent me a picture this week in Wyoming. A large hole has opened up, and they fear that it is a volcanic activity that may erupt there. And who would think of Wyoming as a place for that? But the earth is shuddering with the weight and the burden of man's sin. It is far better to know the Lord than to learn that He is the Lord after the judgment. And so as we've come together today to worship the Lord in our singing, in our time of prayer, and in the study of God's Word, I pray that that thought would penetrate our thoughts. It's better to know the Lord now than to learn of Him later after judgment. Who knows whether you'll survive that or not? And so what a reminder from the book of Ezekiel that we need to know the Lord. We want to begin our service today by turning to number 249. Number 249, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. 249, let's stand together as we sing. Pastor Watt is going to come now and lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we can be here this morning to come before your presence, Lord, with a humble heart and to acknowledge, Lord, your greatness. Father, we do know that you're the God who has always existed. You've been our help in the past and definitely are our hope for years to come. Father, help us to trust in you during these days, not in our own devices and our own plans and ambitions. But Lord, our great God, our Creator God, who knows the end from the beginning, who is in control of all things and is completely sovereign, Lord, thank you that you are guiding and directing our steps here on this earth. Lord, we see things that are happening, and we know that your coming, your return will be very soon. Father, I pray that we'd be found faithful. We'd continue on in trusting in you, Lord, no matter what may happen around us, because we know you are the God who is in control. Lord, we think of those that are suffering this morning. Lord, those over in the country of France who are suffering from these terrorist attacks. Lord, we ask that through these events, that there would be a turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, there'd be an openness in the minds and hearts of these people to receive the gospel. Be with missionaries that are in that country, Lord, that they would have greater opportunity to speak to people, and that there would be those that come to know Christ and to trust in Him. Lord, I ask that you'd bless our country as well. Lord, in the many things that are happening and the directions that we're going, it's very disheartening, it's very disappointing. But yet, Lord, we know that we can continue to trust in you, and I pray that you would continue to grant freedom here in this place. Continue, Lord, to preserve our liberty personally, and also, Lord, our liberty to be able to assemble, to be able to worship, to be able to have Christian education, Lord, to be able to serve you with an open and clear conscience. Lord, I ask that you'd bless our services this morning as we've gathered here, all the families that are represented here. Lord, I pray your blessings upon each one, and as your word opens up to us, that we would be attentive. Lord, that we would also be attentive during the time of singing as we think about the words of these hymns, and Lord, praise your name for your goodness, your wonder, and your might in our lives. We pray, Father, also for our missionaries that we know all throughout this country and throughout the world as well. There's so many of them, Lord, that are serving you. Some are traveling, some are on deputation, some are representing mission works across this country. And so, Lord, we pray your blessings upon them this very day. Lord, services that are being held, Lord, missionary work that's being done, ministry outreaches in a variety of areas. We pray you grant health to our missionaries, that you would grant safety to them, freedom and liberty to be able to preach your word, Lord, in the different places that they are. Father, now we ask again your special blessing upon our time this morning. Give us attentive hearts. Give us calm minds, Lord, focused minds and focused attention upon you and your goodness to us this morning, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Turn in your hymn books, please, to number 190. Number 190, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord, 190. Want to turn together now to number 67. Number 67, praise the Savior, ye who know Him. Who can tell how much we owe Him? Gladly let us render to Him all we are and have. We'll sing on the first and the last stanzas. Number 67.
We shall be where we would be, and we shall be.
Enjoying the nice weather outside. I don't know if you are. It's finally gotten to be November. I was wondering there if it was ever going to come, but it's definitely one of my enjoyable times of the year when the temperatures drop and getting near that wonderful break between soccer and baseball that we get to enjoy a little bit after the whirlwind of Christmas programs and all that is over. So it's a good time of the year. It's one of my favorite times. And of course, in our country, we have set aside a Thanksgiving Day. And that's coming up, by the way, in case you didn't know, in about a week from this Thursday. Time's clicking along, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk about this morning. I don't know if this is your annual Thanksgiving message or not, but I guess it is. I've been thinking about some of those things and the Thanksgiving season, and I know that as a believer, we should be thankful during all times of the year, during every moment of the day. Every situation we go through should draw our minds and hearts to thank the Lord. And we're going to see some different things about Thanksgiving this morning on a spiritual aspect of it that I want to draw our attention to. And as a believer this morning, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you even have, I don't know if you want to call it an ability or the ability to even thank the Lord in a true and honest way. You know, the world with their unbelief and those that don't know the Lord don't really understand Thanksgiving. We have something to be thankful for in our hearts and minds as believers that is absent from those that don't know the Lord. And of course, all throughout Scripture, you could look at many, many references to Thanksgiving. I think in the Bible, thanks or giving thanks is referred to over 160 some odd times. And just the Apostle Paul himself refers to thanksgiving and giving of thanks over 40 times in his epistles. And I wanted to draw attention to one book in the New Testament that was written by the Apostle Paul. And that's the book of Colossians, if you turn there this morning, please. The book of Colossians. We preached a brief message a few Wednesday nights ago this fall from this book. And if you remember some of those things that we talked about. We refer to a little bit of them here and there, but this Greek word that's mentioned or for Thanksgiving that we're going to talk about this morning is mentioned at least seven times in the book. One time it's translated grace, other times it's translated as thanks or thanksgiving. Now here we remember, if you recall back our study of Asia Minor and this area of Colossae that was known as the Lycus Valley. There were three churches there. One was Hierapolis. One was a church that we read of in some of the epistles, and it comes to prominence in Revelation chapter 3. That's the church of Laodicea. And then, of course, there was the church of Colossae here. This region was known for some pretty good commerce. They had a good cloth production industry there, and they also had some dyes that they would produce. And so it was a well-known area. One unique thing was that there was a rather large Jewish contingent there in the Lycus Valley. Now, despite that fact, the Colossian church was mainly Gentile. We can depict that from some of the things that Paul writes about in the book. We won't go into details with that, but the major thrust of this epistle is a polemical, an apologetic type epistle, where Paul is attacking this false heresies that were beginning to come into the church, the Gnosticism and maybe even some of the Judaizer contingent as well, that was beginning to come into the church. But all throughout this book, there's a sub-theme of thanksgiving, of thankfulness that we should have in our hearts to the Lord, that these people needed to understand the spiritual benefits and blessings that they had in the Lord. And, you know, in contrast to these heresies, in contrast to what these worldly false prophets were telling them, they should understand and appropriate the grace of God in their lives and have a thankful mindset for it. So instead of being sidetracked with these heresies and the ritualistic religious things that the heresies were pushing for, Paul is encouraging them to consider what the Lord has done. Consider the grace of God in your life, Colossian church, and as a result, give thanksgiving to our God for it. Now, I want to look at these passages this morning on thanksgiving, and as we do so, let's investigate our hearts. Let's think about the spiritual blessings that God has given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and also allow us to have a mindset of thanksgiving. You know, many times I think that our thanks can become kind of shallow. Where we just focus on the material things the Lord's given us, or we focus on the liberties that we have here in our country. But what about the spiritual blessings that the Lord has given? Do we ever stop and ponder the grace of our God in our lives? The unmerited favor that has just surrounded us. Things that God's done for us that He didn't have to do. Things that He does on a daily basis, even small, unnoticeable things that are in a spiritual realm that the Lord does to protect us, to guide us, to direct us in His will and in His way. And I want to look at this word, thanksgiving, as we consider some of the spiritual aspects of it this morning. The word thanksgiving is a word that is from the root word charis in the Greek. That little word charis means simply grace. It just simply means grace. And there's many definitions that we know of grace, and many theologians have pondered the aspects of grace and written many things about it. But we always think of just a simple definition of grace. It's God's favor to us. It's God giving us favor, really, when we have nothing to be favorable about. There's nothing in us that that spawns God's favor. There's nothing good in us. But He has chosen to give us this favor. He's chosen to be gracious to us. The things that we've merited are things like judgment, condemnation, destruction. We merit a lifelong and an eternal separation from God. But in His graciousness, in His favor that He's given us, He's chosen otherwise. So the word charis is the root, but we have the word then for thanksgiving, eucharisto. We see that word there, eucharisto, which means literally well-graced, but has the idea that we need to be mindful of God's grace. That's the idea there of the word eucharistos in the Greek, to be mindful of God's favor. To not just simply pass over it. To not be thinking lightly of God's favor in our lives. To allowing it just to pass on and we think, well, you know, it's no big deal what God's done for us. It's just things that we just go through our daily life and we act certain ways and we don't consider and stop and be mindful of what God has done for us. You know, we truly live in days, as we're going to see near the end of the message, of people that are characterized by unthankfulness. People that have no concept of what God's grace has done for them. You know, we live in the entitlement society where, you know, you owe me. You need to give me this. I deserve this. I've earned this. And so we're pushing for all these things. You know, we hear all the great push now for these people that want their thousands of dollars of college debt to be forgiven, and they want Bernie Sanders to get into office so, you know, he can just give billions of dollars to give free college for everyone. I don't know where that's going to come from. I was in Best Buy the other day and almost got into a semi-argument with one of the young men that worked there because I didn't mean to. I'm not very argumentative, I don't think. Well, maybe I am. And he was talking and talking about college, and I was telling him I was kind of looking for a computer to finish up school, and he was like, oh man, I'd go back to school if I could afford it. And so I've been able to pay most of it so far and just been able to get through it. And he was like, man, that's why I hope Bernie Sanders gets in office. I can finish my college. And I said, well, who's going to pay for that? You know, your children? Well, you know, I'd rather fund that than the war efforts, blah, 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 blah. And so then we had a little row with that. And I just finally said, he said, well, we shouldn't be talking about this at work. I said, you're right, we shouldn't be. So I'm just going to go on my separate little way. But that's the mindset of people. Y'all owe it to me. You know, y'all have messed me up. And y'all owe me a free college education. and you owe me free everything, and minimum wage go up to $400 an hour. It doesn't matter. Just give, 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 and take, take, take. And that's the mindset of people, because why? We're unthankful. We have no concept of God's grace in our life. And this is why we as believers this morning need to have a different mindset from the world. We have, if you stop and consider your life, is it not true that we've experienced and been a part of God's grace in a way that people in the world can't express? God has bestowed His unmerited favor in our lives on a daily basis, in every little area, in every little activity, in every decision, in every confrontation, in everything that we come across as believers. God's grace is there. His favor just continues. Even when we mess up, we make mistakes, we sin, and God's grace is still there. And we didn't do anything to deserve this, but He has been very favorable to us. So it's refreshing to come across people today that are truly thankful. It's refreshing to come across people that are not self-absorbed, and they understand God's grace. You know, the more God has of us, the more we understand His grace, then the less we consider ourselves. You know, more of God is what we need in our lives. I can think of what John the Baptist said. You know, He must what? Increase, and I must decrease. You know, when the Lord increases, and I allow Him to just continue to take territory in my life, if you want to put it that way, I'm not holding back territory from God. I want Him to have it all. I want His grace to flood into my life. That should be our mindsets, and that should be our response to the Lord in light of what He's done for us, the unmerited favor. Of course, there are so many passages we could look at. We could go through the book of Psalms for months and think about the praising the Lord and thanking His name, and His mercy endureth forever. I love that psalm that repeats that phrase so many times. That's the Lord's mercy and His grace in our hearts and lives. But I thought about, mainly in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We all know this verse. It says, "Give thanks unto the Lord. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It is God's desire. It's His wish. It's His will that we be thankful in everything. Mr. Brainerd has these little cards printed up that he hands out and puts in projector letters or leaves on a table with a waiter or whatever. And it says, "In everything give thanks." I think that's what our world needs a message of. Of course, we need the message of the gospel. But we live in an unthankful world, a world that doesn't acknowledge the grace of God. And as believers, we need to allow His grace to consume us, allow His grace to continue in our lives and to be thankful for it. We need the mindset. It's the idea in the Greek. The awareness that God is gracious to me. And all throughout the book of Colossians here, we're going to look at 6 or 7 passages this morning. And I want to bring out about five or six characteristics of the spiritual thankfulness that we should have in our hearts and minds this morning because of what the Lord has done. You know, it's easy for us as believers even to just get bogged down with our daily lives, and things come up and burdens grow, and we've got, you know, maybe to take care of people. We've got all these things that come up in our life, and we're busy. We've got a lot of things to do. We've got a lot of burdens to bear. And so it's easy for us to forget about thankfulness. I don't know about you, but I know how I am. And when things go wrong and I don't consider the Lord, then what comes instead of thankfulness? We start complaining. We start getting upset. That's our fleshly response. And the Lord is wanting us in everything to understand, even when it's a situation that seems to be against me, it's a situation that seems, you know, all the cards are stacked up against you or whatever, that the Lord is still gracious in that. His grace is there. We've got to be aware of it. We've got to be cognizant of it and allow that to lead us to thanksgiving. This is the grace of God in our hearts, that even when we don't consider, He's still gracious. So we want to meditate this morning on the grace of God in our lives. That's what thanksgiving is. It's being aware of God's grace in your heart and life this morning. Not just physically, not just on the outer horizon. We can see all the blessings God's given us here in this country, the liberty we have, the possessions we have, the homes we have, and the vehicles, and all the things the Lord just provides on a daily basis for us. We can eat whenever we want, and a lot of times whatever we want. And we've got it good. And of course, that's God's grace in our lives. But I want us to consider especially this morning the spiritual grace that God has given us, has bestowed to allow us to come to things spiritually that we would not know otherwise. And it's all through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here the Colossians are being, of course, attacked with these heresies and you know, you got to work for your salvation and all these different things. And Paul's trying to remind them, consider God's grace. It's something that was just given to you. It's not something you have to work for. So, and remembering God's goodness, His graciousness, and being in the place of thankfulness, we won't be led away by those heresies. It's what Paul's main point is to these Colossians. Now, we're going to look at several different passages this morning. Three of them are going to emphasize something to be thankful for. We're going to look at three things to be thankful for spiritually. Then later on, we're going to look at three things to be thankful in, or while we are doing this, or while we are in something, we need to be thankful. We're going to look at six total things this morning. We're going to divide them into two groups of three. Let's begin with verses number 2 and 3 in chapter 1. We'll just start right at the beginning and just read into it. We're going to go down to verse number 4, actually. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace, believe it or not, that's the word, not charis, but eucharist. Grace, thanksgiving be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Here we have our first thing spiritually to be thankful for. And we're going to call it to be thankful for Christian belief. Be thankful for Christian belief. From the very outset of the letter here, Paul expresses thankfulness for the faith of the Colossian church, their love for the brethren, and their faith or belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was mindful of the fact that God's grace had granted this faith and love to the church. Now, here are two qualities of the Christian life that are so interwoven. The belief and yet the love for the brethren. These two things that go together. You know, one is what we believe, and the other is what that belief leads us to practice. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that should turn out to be a practicing of love for the brethren, love for all the saints, not just here in Colossae, Paul says, but also those throughout the world. Now, I read one commentator that put it this way. The Christian has a double commitment. He's committed to Jesus Christ, that's belief, but he's also committed to his fellow men. The Christian faith is not only a conviction of the mind, belief in the mind, it is an outflow of the heart. It is not only correct thought, it is also loving conduct. These two things go together so well. Faith in Christ and love to men are the twin pillars of the Christian life. So here, these Colossians are characterized by their belief and their love for the brethren. Again, this is thankfulness for what God has done. You know, God has granted the gift of belief. You know, if these Colossians were to fall aside to the heresies and stop believing in the gospel, stop believing in the grace of God, and kind of fallen away to these heresies, then Paul probably wouldn't have been thankful for that very much. But let's be this morning mindful of the favor God has granted us in coming to know Him as our Savior, in the simple grace of God to lead us to belief. You know, you think about the variety of different mindsets and approaches and philosophies that are out there concerning belief and metaphysics and what is reality and all what is truth and all these things. There's a variety of men that have tried to answer those questions. But you know what? We should be thankful for the grace of God and mindful for God's grace that He's given us a book. He's given us the truth. And through the truth of God, we can come to belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did God have to do that for us? He didn't. He could have just let, well, those people sinned. They left me. Adam made the wrong choice there in the garden. I'm done with these people. But He made a way, a plan of redemption. That is God's grace. It's unmerited favor. And we as believers this morning have a part in that. We as believers need to recognize, Lord, You didn't have to even offer this to me. Your wonderful truth. And it's easy to buy into all these philosophies, and they sound so neat and appealing and go along with those things, but it's a simple fact that we are nothing outside of God's truth. And God allowed us in His grace to believe. You know, I'm thankful that, you know, I had no control, and you didn't either, of where you were born. I don't know if that's shocking to you, of what family you were born into. But I thank the Lord for His grace in my life that I was born into a Christian home. That, in my life, that's the grace of God. Not everyone has that privilege or that opportunity to know the gospel from a young age, and the Lord still is gracious and leads people to Christ in all kinds of situations. But as I think about my life personally, it's the grace of God that I was born in a Christian home and I got to know God's truth and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's grace. Because, you know what, I know my heart, and if I was in any other situation apart from God's grace, I would have done whatever I wanted to do. God's gracious in everything in leading us. You think about your personal testimony this morning, if you know Christ. You think about how you came to Christ. Maybe it was not in a Christian home. Maybe it was growing up in a Christian home. Maybe it was listening to a message or just coming across someone witnessing to you. Whatever the case may be, it is God's grace that we are able to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's be thankful and mindful this morning of God's grace in Christian belief. Let's move on to verse number 12. Our time is getting away from us. Verse number 12. We'll pick up right here in the middle of that verse. I don't like to take things out of context, but for sake of time, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, there's our word again, giving thanks, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God has made us meet. Now, I know Miss Adams is, aren't you doing some homonyms and or homophones, whatever they call them in middle school? It's words that sound alike. Now, meat is not the meat. God's not trying to make us deer meat or cow meat or something like that, but to make us meat. So I don't want you middle schoolers to get confused out there. God has made us meet, or He has made us competent. He has made us qualified, is the idea in the Greek. He has made us fit to be partakers in the Lord. There, if we continued on to read this passage, we could read all the way down to verse number 14, and we'll get to some of those verses quickly later, but there are several things here that we need to meditate upon as believers that God has been gracious in our lives for. And we're going to call this one not, the first one was Christian belief. We should be thankful for that. Then there are Christian benefits. Because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God has just given us a flood of things that we don't deserve. There are several of them here. We have an inheritance with the saints. An inheritance with the saints in light. We also have, verse 13, a deliverance, a translation. And verse 14, a redemption, and a forgiveness. All these things that we have because of God's grace that we can be thankful for. God has made us meet. First of all, what are we to be thankful for? Here in verse number 12, we're to be thankful for the fact that God has made us qualified. We're not. We're sinful. We are turned away from Him. We're in the kingdom of darkness, but God has granted us a blessing. You want to talk about God's grace? We are totally incompetent, totally unqualified, totally unfit to even think about an eternal inheritance in light. We're darkness. We're in sin. We're not qualified to even go near the light of God. But because of God's grace and favor in giving us the Lord Jesus Christ, He's made us qualified. We're qualified because of who we are in. We're in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a standing we have in Christ that now I'm qualified to partake in something that I would never be able to even approach or see otherwise. Think about the garment of Christ's righteousness. That's what makes us qualified. We're fit, not because we are, but because Christ is. And because we are in Him. And our inheritance is in the realm of light. It's not saying that the modification there or of the adjectives there is not that the saints are light, but that the inheritance is light. The inheritance is light. You think about the book of Revelation and the passages there about the Lamb is the light thereof. That's what we have to look forward to. Not in this world of darkness, but in the world and realm of light in Christ. We should be thankful for that. Now, how in the world are we even qualified to be thankful for this? Well, that's the next verse, verse number 13. We're thankful for our inheritance, but how? How are we able to get that? It's because God has taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and delivered us from it, and He's translated us Now, I'm not trying to give Allie any nightmares to remember math last week, but or Emily as well. But we talked about translations. You know, you can take a parabola and you can translate it and move it up and down on an XY axis, right, Mr. Opeger? You know, the engineer mindset. Ryan, you remember all this stuff. Piece of cake for you guys, you know. But you can translate. That means you literally can move it from one area to a completely new, different area. That's what God did for us in Christ when He saved us. Why am I able to have this inheritance of light? Because God delivered me out of darkness and said, I'm going to move you over here to a new area. Did God's grace have to do that for us? Could have left us in our sin. Could have left us in our darkness. Are we cognizant? Are we aware? Are we mindful this morning of God's grace and His deliverance of our lives from the darkness of sin to give us this inheritance of light? Well, then we see what we should be thankful for in this context, what Christian benefits to be thankful for. We see how we're able to be thankful for, and then who should we be thankful for? All of this is possible in verse number 14 because of the dear Son in whom we have redemption and forgiveness. Well, we could park there and meditate and praise God's name for a long time, couldn't we? That God has bought us. He's redeemed us. We're in this old, they used to call it the old slave market of sin. And the Lord just delivered us right out. I'm going to redeem that dear one. That's God's grace. He doesn't have to do those things for us. Look at these benefits that we have. We're qualified because of an incredible Savior that delivered us, that translated us, that redeemed us, and that forgave our sins. Because of those things, those Christian benefits, we should be mindful of them this morning. Mindful and thankful for Christian belief. Mindful and thankful for Christian benefits. Then turn on to chapter 2, verse number 7. Another thing to be thankful for, another spiritual area, we're going to call this for Christian building. We're thankful for Christian belief, for Christian benefits, and thirdly this morning, our last thing to be thankful for, before we talk about what to be thankful in, is Christian building. Notice this we'll start in verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with what? Thanksgiving. There's our word again. Abounding in the faith as we have been taught with thanksgiving. Being thankful for the teaching we have. Being thankful for everything that has allowed us to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ to build up our lives. You know, Christ has laid the foundation. If you know Christ, He's laid the foundation, but He wants something to be built up on that foundation. He wants us to be built up in Christ. And you think about all the opportunities that we have to be built up in the Lord. The main building material is God's Word, isn't it? To read and study God's Word, to change things in our lives, to be convicted about things, to go through periods of growth as a believer. This is one of the key points of thanksgiving for the Colossians here. Since they are rooted and built up and abounding and established, then since they are growing in Christ and you are built, then you can simply laugh at the heresies that come along. I don't have to worry about that. That's a religion of works. That's a religion that's trying to deter me. I have everything in Christ. I don't have to do anything because He did it all. And I rest and trust in His grace. And you don't have to worry, Paul tells these Colossians, about all these vain deceits and philosophies and traditions and rudiments of the world and all these things they're trying to throw at you. You know Christ. You're built up in Him. You've come to know Him because of God's grace. You know, think back perhaps to your own life. Think about how the Lord has caused you to grow as a Christian. From the time you became a believer, think about the opportunities of studying God's Word. The opportunities of even fellowshipping together with God's people. The opportunities in the house of God to come and hear God's Word. You know, why are we here this morning? Just because, you know, if we don't, people will think something's wrong with us, or we're doing it for show, or, you know, well, my parents are making me, or I just better get there, or it'll look bad. No, why are we here? Because it's another opportunity to be built up. It's another opportunity to grow in the Lord. You know, how do you grow? You get confronted with what you are. God's Word does that, doesn't it? It confronts what you are and says, let's change what you are and let's be conformed more and more to Christ. That's Christian growth. And it comes from God's Word. You know, we've been put in a country where we can stand and preach legally. It's not illegal. You know, I remember when I was a kid, we used to write letters to Russian missionaries that were meeting out in the woods, the secret underground church. Now it was in the 80s sometime. I'm getting kind of old. But, you know, I used to think about, wow, they had to hide in the trees just to even read a verse of Scripture. We don't have to worry about that in America, do we, at this point? We have liberty here. We can gather together to meet. We can gather together to hear God's Word, to assemble together. It's not banned in our country. And God has been gracious to allow that up to this point in our history. It's His grace that has allowed us opportunities to be rooted and built up and established in the faith as we have been taught. Do we take heed to the teaching of God's Word? Do we allow it to get into our hearts, to confront the reality of our sin? We should be thankful, abounding in the opportunities that of being taught with thanksgiving, to consider it that it's God's grace that I'm able to understand God's Word and grow as a believer. You know, God doesn't want us to be stagnant. He doesn't want us to be still. He wants us to abound and to grow, and to recognize my opportunities for growth as I study and read God's Word as a believer are things that God's being gracious to me for. We could be in a country right now where we couldn't assemble together. We could be in a country right now where they don't have the Bible. Isn't it God's grace that we do? Isn't it? We should abound with thanksgiving that we've got the Word of God. We can grow. We can be established. So these are the things that Paul is encouraging the Colossians to be thankful for. Your Christian belief. Thankful for your Christian benefits through Christ. And thankful for your Christian building that God is doing in your heart. But let's look now at some things as we close this morning. Just three other things, three other verses quickly, of some things that we need to be thankful in. Mention some things to be thankful for in the spiritual realm, but what about in? Let's look at some things here, beginning in verse number 15 of chapter 3. Verse number 15 of chapter 3. I'm going to call this thankfulness. I'm trying to get some alliteration here, so maybe you'll remember it. We had the belief, the benefits, and the building, and now we have three spiritual things that we should be thankful in. One of them is in spiritual, I'm going to call it settlement. You may not see that right off. We're going to look at this verse in verse 15. In spiritual settlement, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You may not see this at first, this idea of settlement, but the word rule here in verse 15 is literally, it's the idea of peace ruling in our heart in the sense of it being an arbitrator. Well, if that doesn't make sense to you, let's take it down a step further. The word is literally a sports term, and Pop, you're going to like this one. It's literally a sports term that says, let the peace of God be the umpire in your heart. Pop, you didn't know you were in the Bible, were you? You know, some people say, find yourself in the Bible. Well, Roger and I found me. It says, if the trumpet make an uncertain noise, that's me. And so, Pop, you finally found yourself. There are umpiring in the Bible here. But that's literally the idea. It's a sports word. It's an athletic word in the Greek. That means somebody's going to come in and make the decision. Something's going to make the decision. The word is that the umpire would come in and settle the dispute, settle the decision. So the idea here is if the peace of God is our umpire in our hearts, the decision of Christ will keep us in the right way. Let Christ make the decisions. Have peace in your heart that you're serving Christ. You know, it's amazing to me. I think back in my own life, I remember being a teenager and struggling with what to do and you know, serving the Lord and all those kind of things. And I remember the day that I settled it. Lord, I want to serve you and I'm going to serve you. And you know what covered my heart? The peace of God. It was never a struggle anymore. It was never a conflict anymore. It was never a decision of what am I going to do to serve the Lord. No, I just knew I'm going to serve the Lord. And God's peace came into my heart about that. And it's never been a question since. I'm going to serve the Lord. People that are up and down and aren't grounded in God's Word and don't understand the peace of God in their hearts, they're in struggle. They're in conflict. There are so many conflicting emotions that could arise in your mind and heart. And here's the Colossians being faced with all these heresies that are coming in. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. You won't worry about the heresies. They're not going to deter you. Let's be mindful and thankful of God's grace in giving us a Savior that has granted peace in our hearts. In other words, there's no more conflict. When you surrender to God, the conflict is gone. Surrendering to God resolves it, and there's peace in our heart. Are we thankful for God's peace that rules in our heart and life? Are we thankful for God's peace that has put us where we are, serving Him, that we can continue to do those things? So in our spiritual conflicts, in our decisions that we have to make spiritually, be thankful and mindful of God's grace in giving us peace. Let's move on quickly to our fifth point this morning, our second point of what to be thankful in. It's in chapter 3, right there, verse number 17, a very familiar verse. The first was spiritual settlement, and now we have to be thankful in our spiritual service. Our spiritual service. This is very familiar. You know this verse very well. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I don't want the familiarity of this verse to make it trite in our hearts and minds. But this is a word or a verse that has an idea of everything that we're doing. Our service, our action for the Lord, our service. Do we realize the gift of God's grace in serving Him? You know, serving God is no longer a struggle. Like we said, there's peace in our heart. There's not a struggle anymore about serving the Lord, but there's a surrender. And there's a quick answer to say, here am I, Lord. Send me. You know, why are people today rejecting the call of God? Why are young people not interested in serving the Lord? Why are they not interested in Bible college and preaching and ministry? Because we don't have a thankful heart. I'm convinced of it. Because if you don't have a thankful heart, what are you not aware of? God's grace. When we are aware of God's grace, our response is, Lord, and I want to serve You in every word, in every deed, for Your glory, and give thanks for it, that I have the opportunity to do those things. It's easy to get caught up in ourselves. It's easy to get bogged down with our ideas. And the idea of this verse is the name and honor of Christ. That's the test for everything I do in my service for the Lord. You know, if you can't call on Christ to honor what you are doing or saying, then it's not lining up with God's Word. You know, that's an easy test, isn't it? Would Christ honor this? Now, I've heard in our religious culture, people pray for Christ to honor everything. Now, we were at a basketball game. They have to tell the people to turn their music down, and this is at a Christian school. And then they stand up there and pray, Lord, just bless everything that's going on here. As we're playing heavy rock and roll and all that, how is the Lord going to bless that? In word and deed, in everything, the honor of Christ should be the test. Not our opinion, not what we think, not our conclusions. Is Christ honored in this? If He's not, then I'm going away from it. That's something I can't give thanks in if I'm going against Christ. You know, we've been given the mind of Christ. It's right here. Our problem is we misinterpret it, we twist it around, we make it fit our agenda. We've been given the mind of Christ. Let's apply it to everything we say and do, as this verse says, giving thanks to the Lord for our service. As we serve Him, as we have those words and deeds, and as we do those things, let's thank the Lord and have a mindset of Your grace, God, is covering even my service, my words, and my deeds. And lastly this morning, our last area, chapter 4, verse number 2. Been thankful in our spiritual settlement in our spiritual service. And then lastly this morning, verse number 2, follow along with me, chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Here we have, be thankful in our spiritual steadfastness. Our spiritual steadfastness. It says here to continue in prayer and watching with thanksgiving. The idea is to hold on to something with strength. To hold on. To don't let it drop down. To not give up. I'm just going to hold on to that. I'm not going to let go. That's steadfastness. That's continuation. That's prayer and watching. Not to fall into the careless attitude. That's not watching. The whatever mindset of our day today, the I don't care attitudes that we have, those mindsets are not watching. That's an apathetic mindset before the Lord. You know, understand that God has been gracious to us. And being mindful of His grace causes us to desire to continue in prayer, continue to watch in the same. I hope that this morning, as we've considered God's grace, we've considered the Christian belief, the Christian benefits, the Christian building, thankfulness in spiritual settlement, in spiritual service, and in spiritual steadfastness, that we as believers will be an example in this world of true thankfulness. Because our thankfulness stems from something that the world does not know. It stems from our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with just a couple little verses. I'm going to read one. You just listen. It's a very familiar verse. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. This is the mindset of people that reject God. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. What does that mean? I see God's grace, and I choose not to be mindful of it. That's dangerous. The Lord's been gracious to every one of us. Even if there are people in this room this morning that do not know Christ, God's been gracious to you. He's been merciful. Are we going to choose to not be thankful, to sin against His grace? Remember our study in Sunday school last week in 2 Timothy chapter 3, what was one of the characteristics of the perilous, fierce, grievous times? It was that they are unthankful, rejecting the grace of God. As I studied this, that kind of opened my mindset because I usually didn't think of thankfulness that way. But thankfulness is rooted in God's grace. And when we choose to throw out His grace, that's unthankfulness. It's interesting to me that that is the word that Paul uses. He could have put anything there. They glorified Him not as God, therefore, you know, they were condemned. Therefore, they were terrible people. Therefore, they are sinners. No, they're unthankful. They sinned against God's grace. That's the call for us. The Lord's been gracious. Let's be mindful of it this season, this next several weeks as we contemplate Thanksgiving time in our country specifically, and as we go into the holidays of Christmas and we meditate upon Christ's birth, time set aside for that, let us have a spiritual attitude in thankfulness for all these things that the Lord has done for us, His grace that has encapsulated our lives. Father, we thank You so much for Your grace to us. We can't even begin to comprehend how good You are, how gracious You are in saving and redeeming us. Father, how gracious You are to give us Your Word so that we could meditate upon it, so that we could grow in it, so that we can study it and know what we believe and build our lives around the truth, to have peace in our hearts, to know what to do in our actions, our word and deed, all these things we've looked at this morning, to be able to watch and pray. Father, Your grace has surrounded us. And thankfulness is simply acknowledging the grace of God. Lord, I pray that if there is one here this morning that doesn't know You, that, oh God, You would work in their heart, that they would not reject grace, because that's what unthankfulness is. To know God and glorify Him not as God. To know God's grace and yet to sin against it. Father, work in our hearts. Lord, as believers this morning, encourage us this morning to continue in Your grace and to be thankful this season of the year in our country. I know we should year-round, Lord, but especially this time of the year as we set aside time to think of Your goodness. Father, that we would meditate upon Your grace in our lives. Father, again, thank You for Your word this morning. Pray that You'd bless Your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Would you turn in your hymn books, please, to number 203. 203. In John Wycliffe's translation of the English Bible, oftentimes you would see the word thankfulness rather than our English thankfulness. Thankfulness. And it was the opportunity of the believer to think and to meditate upon the greatness and goodness of God. And that's what this message has done this morning, to focus our hearts and minds upon our wonderful Lord, to think about what He has done for us in His grace that has been manifested to us. It means that there should be an equal and opposite response to His goodness to us. It should not just be a statement and then we walk away from it, but rather a thankfulness to take the message of the hour with us as we go to our homes, and to think and meditate upon how wonderful our God is. And this particular hymn, 203, praise the Lord who reigns above and keeps His court below. Praise the holy God of love and all His greatness show. In other words, there's a response. We're to show forth in our lives what He has done for us. So let's stand together as we close. We'll sing on stanza one only. Precious Father in heaven, we thank You so much for the testimony of the book of Colossians to this theme of thanksgiving. Lord, we have so many things to be thankful for and in. And I pray, dear Lord, that You would work in our hearts. So many times we are so wrapped up in ourselves and our plans and our ambitions that we have no time to reflect upon Your greatness and upon Your goodness. Lord, there is no life apart from Thee. There is no mercy. There is no deliverance. There is no heaven. There is no love apart from Thy love. Father, I pray that You would awaken our hearts to this truth and that You would encourage us today to think and to meditate upon Your greatness and to have thankful hearts. We pray now Your blessings upon us as we go our ways. We pray that You would watch over Your people. Pray that You'd bring us again together tonight, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.